640 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Protesters and federal agents clashed during immigration sweeps at two Southern California pot farms.
Let me tell you, I'm scared, even though that I'm a citizen and everything, but still, I'm scared, really scared.
President Trump heads to Central Texas today for a firsthand look at the damage from last Friday's deadly flash flooding. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
CBS News has learned that he plans to meet with emergency responders, as well as the families of some of the victims. And from there, he will head to his golf club in New Jersey.
A whistleblower is accusing Justice Department officials of retaliation after she was fired Monday. Patty Hartman tells CBS News.
It's hard to understand why or how it's okay to remove people from their job for doing their job.
Hers included distributing press releases about January 6th prosecutions. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WAUK News brought to you by the Summer Splash Dog Show at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to July 27th. Fun for the whole family. WaukeshaSummerSplash.com.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Today, Wisconsin is mourning the loss of Milwaukee police officer Kendall Corder, who was killed while responding to a call late last month. Officer Corder's body first is being transferred from a funeral home to the Elmbrook Church in Brookfield. After funeral services, a 10-mile procession with officers across the state will accompany Officer Corder to his final resting place at Wisconsin Memorial Park Cemetery. Community members are expected to gather along Barker Road and Capitol Drive to honor his memory. Flags will remain at half-staff statewide in his honor. Administrative changes are coming to the college near the Capitol. Savannah Tomey Olson has more.
UW-Madison is planning to sunset its main DEI division, as inclusion efforts have become a target for state Republicans over the last couple years. The Division of Diversity, Equity, and Educational Achievement helps support about 5% of the student body. Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin announced that it'll move under the umbrella of the Division of Teaching and Learning and the HR Department. Mnookin says the initiatives from the DDEEA will still exist and no student scholarships will be impacted. However, she says a, quote, small number of staff members will be laid off. Diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives are a major talking point for Republicans on both the state level and the national level. President Donald Trump has threatened slashing funding to universities over DEI programs. And when pushing for an $87 million cut to the UW system weeks ago, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said there's too much political correctness on campus, although he didn't say how cuts would change that.
You may have already noticed the increase of rumbling. Tens of thousands of riders have rolled into Milwaukee for the three-day Harley-Davidson Homecoming Festival. The festival features over 60 vendors, 12 bands, and celebrations at both dealerships and on the lakefront. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
It's back to work for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee, where the Brewers open a three-game weekend series against the Nationals. At 50 wins and 43 losses, the Brewers in second place in the NL Central, just two games behind the first-place Cubs. The Brewers coming off that three-game sweep of the Dodgers. Now, with Freddy Peralta scheduled to pitch this Sunday, closer Trevor McGill will represent the team in the All-Star game next week.
Sweep the Dodgers at home, that's give the fans what they want, right? That was awesome. Awesome. Glad to be a part of that, and then also with the news as well. Like, that's just some goal that I put out in the offseason. Here it is coming true.
The Nationals are in last place in the NL East, 16 games behind the Phillies. They fired their manager, Dave Martinez, and GM Mike Rizzo earlier in the week. Miguel Cairo named interim manager. Basketball, NBA Summer League action underway in Nevada. The Bucks with a 90-89 win over the Denver Nuggets last night. Jamari Bouye with a three-pointer at the buzzer. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, tonight, and again tomorrow. Quarter inch or more possible each day. We'll get to 84 for a high today, 70 tonight, 85 tomorrow. Sunday will be better with sunshine and a high of 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Bring the whole family to the Waukesha Kennel Club's Summer Splash Dog Shows at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to 27th. Enjoy exciting events like dock diving, fast cat racing, obedience, and the thrilling best of show competition. It's fun for all ages. Check out the vendors and find the best pet supplies for your furry friends. It's the perfect weekend for dog lovers and families alike. Sponsored by Royal Canin at 540 AM WAUK. Visit WaukeshaSummerSplash.com for all the details.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, Jim Santel. We discuss the big takeaways from the United States Supreme Court's last term. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, that's me. It's time to say good morning. It's 7:06. It's a Friday morning, July 11th, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson standing by in Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot in just a sec as well with the weekend forecast. Our weekend review panel will be along shortly. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and veteran journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. A lot to cover throughout the course of the next hour. But here's something else that we can cover during the course of this next hour and the one after that. It's Free Ticket Friday. Yes, it's your chance to win a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets to a specific game. In this case, use that keyword, send it to us through the Civic Media app, text us before the end of the show at 9 a.m. You'll be in the running in this statewide contest for four tickets to Sunday afternoon's game against the Washington Nationals. So if you can go to a Brewer game Sunday afternoon, this is the contest for you. Our keyword for the show this morning for a four-pack of Brewers tickets for Sunday's game is ball. B-A-L-L. One winner will get a four-pack of club-level seats. So get that Civic Media app from your Apple Store, your Google Store, wherever. Find one of the stations on the app and use the text button to send the keyword ball to be entered in. And then listen later in the day to Jane and Greg, Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, and Maggie Dawn for more chances to win on this free ticket Friday. Let's see, from, we've got Brittany here. Yes, we do. This is from the text line from Jim Brookfield. Always nice to hear Brittany's radio voice providing an accurate statewide forecast. I feel connected to my friends up north. Southeast forecasters usually ignore most of the state and always overemphasize not to change your plans, even when it's pouring. So thank you, Jim, for that. Brittany's going to tell you if it's going to pour, you should change your plans. But yes. Yeah. Only if we're going to get that pour. I had the thing last night with Todd Alba where we did the fair, and we're going to do it again today from 2 to 4.
Cool.
And then the original plan was to take Todd out on the lake, get on the pontoon and go. But, you know, there was the chance of scattered showers everywhere. You know, there'd be a cloud over you. Mm-hmm. 5 miles over this way, you could see a cloud was raining on somebody. 5 miles over there, the sun is shining. You know? And... so we decided to go get some dinner instead. We're sitting outside on a deck, and the sun is out, and it's gorgeous. But, you know, you just know that if you try to get on the boat instead, you know,
your luck might change.
Yeah, you just you don't know. So it's not that you cancel your plans. You just need alternative plans, varying plans, contingencies. Yes. So what kind of plans are we making today and tonight?
All right. So if you're down south, those plans are probably going to be to stay inside. Unfortunately, we've got that front that is stalled over northern Illinois right now. The low pressure, little disturbance is still moving in towards the Rockford area. So as this happens, it's going to start to lift this front north into us. So southern Wisconsin is going to see those showers and storms starting to increase, especially by this afternoon. They kind of fire up around 2 to 3 o'clock or so. And this is far, far southwest. And this is going to ride the state line and in towards Janesville, Madison area, Milwaukee too. Actually, Janesville and Milwaukee, you're in a slight risk for these storms to be severe. And if they are severe, there are chances for a tornado. There was some yesterday down in Illinois with this rotation, and some strong winds are possible, and also hail too. So that's the risk from Janesville through Milwaukee this afternoon and evening. And also statewide, still heavy, heavy rain. There's a ton of moisture that these storms can tap into. So even as far north as Park Falls or like Eau Claire, you could still get under a storm tonight, and it could still dump a quick 1 to 3 inches of rainfall. This is a heavy, heavy rain. Getting it in an hour, an inch and a half in an hour. That's what they saw down in Madison yesterday. Streets were flooded, sewers overflowing, trees were knocked down. There was also a tree I saw on top of a house, and this was by Wanakee. So a lot going on, and even in towards Rockford, they had about 3 inches rapidly, plus more on top of it. There was waist-deep water in Rockford. The city bus was flooded. There's pictures of 2 to 3 feet water down there. So this can happen. This is not far away from the state line. This can happen this afternoon for us. Hopefully it won't, but be prepared. Northland area, still you can get a storm underneath you, but your chances are a little bit less. Those will be much more wide scattered. Now, as we go through tomorrow, we still got a cold front moving through. It doesn't look to do too much now. It just wants to spark a few scattered, widely scattered showers and storms. Again, they still could pack a lot of heavy rainfall. This will be tomorrow afternoon. Then the front has cleared us for Sunday and Monday. We'll stay dry. We'll stay sunny. It'll actually be comfortable on Sunday. It starts to get more humid as we go into Monday.
My goodness. So much to track here.
But there is.
People definitely appreciate it. There's a lot in the mailbag here today for Rob from Tigerton. Good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 62, half an inch, or no, 5/100ths of an inch of rain last night. Yesterday, I mowed 4 yards in the Tigerton area. Today, I need to get 2 more mowed. Now we've just got a hodgepodge in the mailbag here, going back to last hour. I use a CPAP machine. I have since 2019. I can tell a big difference when I use it compared to falling asleep on my recliner. This is National French Fry Day, so he makes note that he will have French fries with his fish fry tonight. Ooh. He says the corn is really growing now, so we're going to have some corn sweat with the humid weather. It's been a mad dash for farmers to get the second crop of hay in. I can testify. They got that second crop off in a hurry here earlier this week. But I got to tell you this. The folks all around Courier Newsroom, all around the country, we occasionally would get on a video call, you know, a Zoom or whatever you use. And there's people from all over the country. And somebody from Iowa Starting Line mentioned corn sweat.
Yep.
And the folks from the East and the Southwest thought for sure they were being punked. They're like, what is corn sweat? And as the Midwesterners, you know, explained it, you could tell they were not buying this at first. They were like, this is not a real thing. Yes, corn sweat is a real thing.
Absolutely, you know? It is. It totally is.
It's, you know, that much, it gets real humid there. Roger in Stevens Point says, heavy rain soaked parts of western Portage County in the Golden Sands area west of Plover and the town of Linwood west of Point last night. Tony goes on to say, Brittany gets the Northwoods is the most important weather forecast to give rather than, you know, the southeastern part of the state.
No, I love all of you. It's just important in the woods.
Right.
You've got a lot of trees to knock down there.
Yeah, exactly. And let's see, one more from Rob. Watch out for flooding. And also, I have scenic roads that were washed out from the culverts getting washed out. Yes, that is also a thing that could happen. And we mentioned that the sun is setting just a little bit earlier now. It's coming up just a little bit later now. And, you know, it'll be fall before you know. Alicia's like, oh, yeah, there's already some people declaring Halloween. You know, the Halloween stores are going to go up. Leave it to Tony to go, yeah, I miss the darkness. Well, Tony lives up near the tundra, so 6 months of, you know, night is more in his wheelhouse than it is to us. So
that's funny that you're saying that. I'm wearing an Alaska shirt right now, you know, where they have full darkness, you know, in winter. But
or, you know, you don't get to sleep because the sun is always.
I was going
to
say, you get that far north, it's just always sunny.
Yes. And now is Parker, his Mallards game got rained out yesterday. He's got a doubleheader today. Are they going to get the doubleheader in today?
I don't think so.
Oh,
good luck. I hope so. What time is it?
I think we start at 4.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know. Maybe you'll get one in.
You're so like, yeah, no shot, Parker, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, there may be more makeup games to come. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
All right. As always, a reminder, sign up for our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our weekday newsletter. We've got a Sunday morning newsletter as well. Today's newsletter talks about the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, where Todd Alba and I will be today from 2 until 4. Come over and say hi if you're anywhere near Chippewa Falls. And also some stories there about scenic destinations in Wisconsin and public factory tours that are available as well. So much to check out in our newsletter. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. Our Week in Review panel will be coming up next. We've got some court cases to talk about, birthright citizenship, of course. But there's also a new challenge to the congressional maps in Wisconsin. You'll recall it was not long ago at all. Was it last week? Week before? That the state Supreme Court said it was not going to take up original jurisdiction over a challenge to the current congressional district boundaries. But now another lawsuit has been filed, and so we'll ask former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about the differences between them. We'll have that coming up for you in just a short time. And one other story that caught my eye, and not in a great way, the headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Frank Vaisvilas. Sorry, Frank, if I mispronounced that. Trump dumps a panel targeting offensive names. So Wisconsin's half-breed Rapids will likely stay. That is because the Trump administration dismantled a committee tasked with removing racist names from landmarks. It was established by Interior Secretary Deb Haaland in 2021. Haaland was the nation's first Native American person to serve as Interior Secretary. The Trump administration dismantled the committee, in part saying that, you know, moves like this to remove racist names are racist themselves, because that's the kind of down-is-up world that we live in nowadays. So a lot of places have had their names changed. There were 28 different place names that changed in 2022, all had the derogatory name for women as part of their title. A lot of them were, you know, rivers, lakes, creeks throughout the part of the state. But the work hadn't been done yet. And so other racist names like Half-Breed Rapids would have been the next logical step, according to Chris Goodwill, who is Menominee and former tribal liaison for the Wisconsin DNR. But the committee never got the chance before it was dismantled by the current Interior Secretary, Doug Burgum, the former governor of North Dakota, who had been considered a friend by tribal leaders, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article. Now, Half-Breed Rapids is on the Tomahawk River, about 20 miles west of Rhinelander, near the Lac des Flambeaux Reservation, and within Ojibwa-ceded territory, which is land the U.S. took from the Ojibwa, where tribal members reserve the right to continue fishing and hunting. Now, the reason this really stuck with me is because of a hockey game. You'll recall I was following the Western Michigan hockey team on their way to a national title because my son-in-law works for the team. And that included a game against North Dakota. Now, the University of North Dakota has been the Fighting Hawks for quite a few years now. Prior to that, for several decades, they were the North Dakota Sioux. And there are folks who will tell you, well, that's part of our culture. No, that's just your stubborn pride, unwilling to let go of, you know, names that you've appropriated from elsewhere. It's not like Sioux was North Dakota's original team name. They were the Flickertails originally, named for the ground squirrels around North Dakota. But then they changed to the Sioux because, you know, racism was cool back then, you know, like cigarette smoking or chasing your secretary around the desk or, you know, redlining the maps so that black families couldn't buy a house. Good times, right? So if you wanted to name your team, you know, for the Red Men or Indian Head or Sioux or whatever, you got to do that for the longest time until finally enough folks said, maybe not a great idea. And the names were starting to get changed back or given something less racist. and then Donald Trump happened. Still a work in progress in this country. Our Week in Review panel is coming up. A local update next for some of you. And we'll continue on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. You won't meet a bigger proponent of what's going on in Racine during the summer than me. There are so many activities, so many events, and Don Rosen sat down with Kelly Cruz of the Downtown Racine Corporation to go over just some of them, including the night market, Party on the Pavement, as well as the wonderful addition of three new businesses in the downtown Racine area.
I'm just so proud of the downtown businesses that have endured so much over the, talk about going through major construction, going through COVID shutdowns, going through people's shopping habits completely flipped upside down. And yet we're still standing. What's that song?
Haymarket Square. Now, people say, well, Haymarket, what's Haymarket Square?
Yeah.
It's Monument Square.
Well, yes, but originally it was always called Haymarket, and so it was only fitting that we name it Haymarket, obviously, because it's a market. It's on Monument Square, which used to be called Haymarket.
And I have a photograph of the hay wagons that used to park there and sold their hay at Haymarket Square.
Yeah, this event has really exploded this year. We got a better variety of vendors, live music, beer garden. I mean, the square is so packed. It's over 50 vendors, and you're probably like, how can you even fit that many? So you will not be bored when you're down there. There is, you know, all of your favorites, you know, jams, honeys, homemade canned goods. But then there's also food trucks and like lemonade stands that they do an amazing job. It is just a really cool atmosphere. It is very vibrant. It's like buzzing. We have Mark Pathrath is playing this year. So it's always like cool acoustic music in the background. It just kind of fits the vibe. So it's a nice night market to do. Yeah. Stock up while you can.
And also tons of chairs. We really got that thing set out so you can relax.
Finally. Yeah. It took us a couple of years. It used to just be like this blank slate. I'm like, this does not feel, unless Party on the Pavement was happening, it just always felt so big and open and nowhere to sit. So now we've got permanent tables, umbrellas too for the heat. And so, yeah, it's nice.
Okay. Now the Haymarket Square is not just on July 10th. It's several times.
Yeah, it's every other week. Yeah. So, yeah. So we'll have, this is our third one, and we have seven total. So try to, you know, make it there. And I'm serious, stock up while you can, because we know it comes in the fall, and everyone's going to be like, oh, I'm out of that jam I liked or that honey that I wanted.
Okay, a couple of things happening on July 11th. Blues, Brews, and Barbecue, First Fridays, and also Salmonorama.
Yes, yeah, so much is happening on downtown this Friday. So number one, we have our First Fridays. The theme is Blues, Brews, and Barbecue. So we have the Ivy Ford Band that will be there. They are an amazing, internationally known blues band. She's a wonderful singer. We have free brew samples throughout downtown. So you can check out our social media page and our website for the map of every place where you can get free brew samples. And, of course, we're highlighting barbecue. So we have about four or five barbecue food trucks on Monument Square. And then, of course, like Reef Point Brew House will be featuring barbecue on their menu, as they always do, but doing some fun things. Plus, during First Fridays, we have something called the Creative Crawl, which is sort of this sub-theme for families and art lovers, where we've got about 10 businesses that are hosting live demonstrations. They have artists that are right there on site doing literally like live art in front of you. We have a passport system where if you go to all these locations, you get your passport stamped with, and you can win all these different prizes and gift cards just for going to five locations. So again, you can check out our socials for more info on the Creative Crawl. And then on top of that, on Friday, we're having three ribbon cuttings in downtown Racine.
All right.
Yes.
Three new businesses being born.
Yes.
They sent out the birth announcements. And let's talk about
it. Okay. So, yeah. So we're starting off the day at 4:30 p.m., the ribbon cutting of the new cafe. Yes. It's called the new cafe.
And that's where the Dewey's used to be.
Yes, right, exactly. Okay. It's on the corner of Main and 6th. And it is a breakfast and lunch place, probably real like an egg heavy breakfast, kind of Mexican inspired. So wonderful. Like, oh, the menu is just to die for.
When you sent me that, it said new cafe. I said, I know it's a new cafe. What's the name of it?
Oh, my gosh. When I posted on social media, it was sort of like that who's on first, because there was about 50 comments and everyone was saying, but what's the name? And everyone's saying new cafe. They're like, but what's the name? And it was 50 comments of people that didn't see the previous comments. And I'm like,
it was like who's on first.
It really was. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. So, yeah. So 4:30, we'll be doing the new cafe. At 5 o'clock, we are doing the ribbon cutting of Mahoffer's on Main. That is on the 200 block of Main, right next to Uncorked. And that used to be called Marcy's on Main, but these are completely new owners. They've really completely renovated the space. They're a completely different vibe. A young couple owns it, and they've really put their heart and soul into this business. They moved from Illinois to here just to open this. So talk about just a really cool entrepreneurial. I love families that are entrepreneurial spirit like that. And then at 5:30, we go down to 6th Street at 509 6th Street, and we are doing the ribbon cutting of Tulip Tavern. And that's basically right across the street from Indian Motorcycle and the Nash. And they have a really old school skee ball machine in there. Again, a young couple that owns that has put their heart and soul into opening this business. I mean, this is what I love about downtowns and entrepreneurs. We forget about how much goes into opening a business and how much blood, sweat, and tears goes into it.
Anxiety.
They're putting their whole life savings into making improvements and buying these buildings and working at them, as well as it's amazing. And I just love that the spirit of that is still remains in downtowns, because we're so used to franchises that we forgot about, hey, what about the spirit of owning your own business?
If you'd like to hear more of that discussion with Don Rosen and Kelly Cruz from the Downtown Racine Corporation, go to civicmedia.us/shows. You're going to look for the Don Rosen Show, find the episode, and you're going to download it to your device and listen to it whenever you want, wherever you want, because we make it simple here. Don't forget, you can also subscribe to the show as a podcast, and that way it's delivered directly to your device every time a new episode is available. You've been listening to WAUK's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUK.com. wauk.radio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 729.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hot and sticky, cloudy and overcast, all the conditions that things like white mold and tar spot are looking for. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. These ideal conditions have more Wisconsin farmers turning to some of the apps that have been developed by our talented University Extension staff, like Dr. Damon Smith, University Extension plant pathologist. Unfortunately, he says, because of a staffing shortage on campus, they don't have people available to upgrade the apps. So instead, they're turning to the web. He explains.
Some of you who probably use the standalone smartphone apps are noticing that those apps are no longer working on your phones and things. We've transitioned away from the standalone smartphone app, and we now have a couple of tools that are available on that badgercropnetwork.com site. So anything that runs a web browser, your smartphone included, can run these new tools, but these are interactive tools. They run multiple diseases for multiple crops.
So the information still available, just in a different location. Dr. Damon Smith, University Extension plant pathologist, if you're accustomed to using his SporeCaster app or any of those other tools on your smartphone, now just go to badgercropnetwork.com and bookmark that page. Markets are next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most: your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a penny and three quarters to 171. 40-pound block cheese down a penny on Thursday at 168 and a half, while AA butter gained 2 3/4 cents to 259 a pound. This morning, the August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 2 at 1784. Currently, September corn's down a penny. December new crop down a penny at 415. August soybeans are up a penny. November new crop unchanged at 1014. September wheat's unchanged. Currently at 554, December unchanged, 575 a bushel. Just a quick market snapshot. On a Friday morning, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, tonight, and again tomorrow. Quarter inch or more possible each day. We'll get to 84 for a high today, 70 tonight, 85 tomorrow. Sunday will be better with sunshine and a high of 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds, because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, doing some recombobulating, an extended session with Dan Schaefer, who joins us at 9:30. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
The Milwaukee Brewers were off yesterday. They start a three-game series at home against the Washington Nationals this evening. Coverage begins at 6:35 on several civic media stations today, tomorrow afternoon, Sunday afternoon, and then it's time for the All-Star break. But before that time, there is this series, and if you would like to win four great tickets to the Sunday afternoon Brewer game against the Washington Nationals, well, then text the keyword BALL, B-A-L-L, using the Civic Media app. You will be in the running for those tickets. There will be a rally at the state capitol today, put on by Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed, Wisconsin Public Education Network, Main Street Alliance, and others. Basically all about the state and federal budgets that were passed last week and how both of them continue harm to many Wisconsinites by benefiting the wealthy in the form of tax cuts and not doing nearly enough for things like the child care crisis and K through 12 education. There will be a news conference there at 9:30 with several speakers, including Corrine Hendrickson, who's talked to the show plenty of times on child care, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and many more. So again, that's at the state capitol over on the State Street steps. And then there will be some letters delivered to elected leaders as well. So we may talk more about the federal budget that was passed and the coverage of it with our panel, Jennifer Schulze, Mark Jacob, and Jim Santel. But I do want to take a moment to talk about coverage of the Texas floods. Jennifer, let's start with you. It's the subject of your latest column in Distinct Chatter that you can get on Substack, and what you had to say about the coverage of the tragedy in Texas so far.
Well, I'm very impressed with the coverage. I think that local Texas media in particular, TV and print, digital, have all done an excellent job, not just telling the story about the tragedy, and it is a tragedy. I mean, it's just a nightmare. I can't even imagine. But they are also very aggressively holding officials to account. There have been numerous news conferences that have been held on live TV where reporters have really pressed these officials to say, why didn't you do X, Y, and Z? And that's really impressive stuff. And I would like to hope that that influences some of the coverage we see today in Texas when the pool travels with Trump from DC, and then we'll have the opportunity to ask a lot of those questions, because these local TV reporters have really been pushing for answers in a way that we do not see in our national media frequently, the ones covering Trump.
Well, that takes us to the national media, Mark, and Chuck Todd, who is doing Chuck Todd things, who posted and was completely roasted, I would dare say annihilated on social media for this post. The tragedy in Texas could have been avoided if both sides stopped playing politics and better prepared our communities for extreme weather disasters. I examine how the political discourse has become a virus. If we sounded an alarm for both sides-ism, we'd go deaf blaring this one, Mark.
And when you actually look at the facts, you know, it's these extreme weather disasters, which we're seeing more and more of, you know, are happening because we're not taking climate change seriously. Well, what side is taking climate change seriously and what side is not? I mean, this is not like just partisan bickering. This is one side deciding to eliminate all these programs, you know, for clean energy and you know double down on fossil fuels because you know that those are the donors that make the money, and the other side trying to actually deal with the climate crisis. But no, it's both sides are doing this and that. Plus, also, I mean, it's clear now that local Republican officials, I mean, they're, it's not because they're Republicans, because they're local officials who decided not to spend money on an early warning system because it cost too much. So, you know, that's what they decided. They made a calculated decision. This was not just a matter of, well, we didn't know better. They discussed it. They decided not to spend the money to protect people because it cost too much money. And so, you know, zero in on that. Don't do this kind of vague kind of, oh, partisan bickering. You know, that doesn't get us anywhere. And then it's Chuck Todd acting as if he's above it all instead of actually zeroing in on whose fault it is.
It's marketing. It's his marketing shtick now, is to try to, you know, rise above it all. But that means there's times when, again, both sides aren't 50-50. And if you're afraid to call it so, I mean, what good is your marketing position? We have spoken already this morning about birthright citizenship. But Jim, as a former U.S. attorney, I'd like to, your explanation will probably sound better than mine as far as why the case is now a class action case, because I think to the layperson, they heard that the U.S. Supreme Court made a ruling, and in their mind, especially the way some media, I think, portrayed it, was that President Trump can go ahead and try to ignore the Constitution in terms of birthright citizenship. That's not actually what the Supreme Court said, and a federal district judge this week took it to that next level, making it a class action suit. Why?
I think it's fascinating as a legal matter, fascinating simply as an American news item, too. We recall that when the Supreme Court decided not to decide on birthright citizenship, it is still unresolved, this very clear issue. They said that national injunctions can no longer happen. One judge cannot impose her or his will on the entire nation. Okay, we can argue about that. And there may be times when it's appropriate, maybe at times when it's not appropriate. What they did also say, in addition to staying this order until July 27, tick-tock right now here in America, they also said, but you've got other remedies here. You can do a class actions, basically identifying large groups of people who have commonality in their facts, commonality in the law, and bring them together. And by certifying that class, you may be able to do the same thing. Well, within moments of the Supreme Court's issuing that decision, sure enough, class actions get filed. The lawsuits anyway, and this particular judge in New Hampshire says, okay, that's fine, I can do that, and it's arguably brilliant. What he says is, I am now going to certify a class of virtually everybody who was affected by the president's executive order way back on January 20th, and that includes in particular the babies of people, of women and men, obviously, born since the time of the executive order. He certifies the class and says, all of you who otherwise would be citizens today, I am certifying your class. And as to that class, I am now imposing a national injunction. And so it is fascinating. The judge says, you told me I can do this. I've done it. I preserved America once again. It's going up to the First Circuit Court of Appeals, may end up before the Supreme Court again. But it just underscores once again, why doesn't the Supreme Court simply say what we all know, which is the 14th Amendment grants you a right for citizenship if you're born here. That's been the law for 100 years. Say that, Chief Justice
How is this still a thing? Exactly. Right. Jennifer, you just heard the explanation of a former U.S. attorney. And as you know, in this era of sound bites, I mean, this is a serious challenge to reporters, whatever the level of experience, to convey all of these nuances of the legal system. And I'm not saying that you or I have the correct answer to it, but for the love of all things holy, maybe run your copy by somebody with some legal experience before you pop off on this subject.
Oh, Pat, I don't know. I think you might be asking too much there. I do think a lot of these stories are very complicated, but they also can be boiled down very simply. And what somewhere in the press gets stuck somewhere in the middle, right? They try to tell a story without going too far so they don't offend their corporate owners and get on the wrong side of Trump. But then, you know, so they never land in a place where they just say what actually happened. And I find that particularly frustrating.
Do you use the phrase, maybe you do it a different way, but I've often heard the phrase said to reporters, tell it to your mom. In other words, instead of writing all the legalese and the jargon, you know, if you got on the phone with your mom, what would you say? You wouldn't say, no offense, Jim, you wouldn't say everything that you said for 90 seconds there. You'd say the Supreme Court did this. And it just, I don't know if you have a similar way that you express that to beginning journalists.
I think that is an excellent lesson. And that is, in fact, how people are taught about journalism. Tell me what you're trying to tell me. Tell it to me in one sentence. You know, what is the story here? Get to the nut of the story. Okay, that's where we're going with this story. And in fact, I think we try too hard not to do that because of all these other sensitivities that are now in the atmosphere.
Yeah. And Mark, you were a front page editor for the Chicago Tribune. I mean, you know how you have to work so hard to make it concise, not just the headline, but the lead.
Yeah, well, I feel like a lot of journalists are writing for other journalists, or they're writing for their sources, and that becomes a real problem. You know, that they're writing defensively, and politicians want them to write defensively. That's why you get so much criticism of the news media by politicians who are being covered. You know, they'll have their press person call after every story and explain to them why it's wrong. You know, there's this pressure campaign. And not just by Republicans. When I was a Metro editor at the Tribune in Chicago, you know, Rahm Emanuel was all over us all the time. You know, and if in effect what he was doing was working the refs, he was trying to get us to, trying to intimidate us so that we would, say other things,
you'd think twice,
softer things next time. Yeah. And so, yes, I mean, exactly. Talk to your mom. You're not talking to Rahm Emanuel. You're not talking to some other journalist who's a competitor. You're not trying to impress anyone. You're just trying to tell your mom what happened. Mm-hmm.
Now, we've mentioned that Jennifer's latest newsletter for Indistinct Chatter is on the Texas floods. Your latest, Stop the Presses, the headline is Jake Tapper Believes in Jake Tapperism, which is probably one of the most honest headlines I've seen in the longest time of trying to explain the way that he has covered certain things like a dog with a bone that they just will not let go of. And that's as Jake Tapper as it gets.
Well, my contention is that he's really a journalistic windsock. You know, it's not that he's a right winger or a left winger or anything like that. I mean, he was actually quite hard on Trump in the early days, but now that Trump is an established, you know, he's here for the second time as president, you know, I think Tapper's decided to kind of play to that audience. And, you know, and he's decided idiotically to make a big deal about a former president who's no longer really a factor in American politics, rather than looking at, you know, trying to report on the 5-alarm fire that's happening next door. And he's just a careerist. He's just trying to position himself for maximum benefit to Jake Tapper.
Well, the fact that he's got a history that stretches back to, you know, the Monica Lewinsky scandal. I mean, he's got a record. He's got a style, which, right, again, works in certain circles. But I also feel like somebody like you needs to, you know, point out the way that operates. So that's in Stop the Presses. Get it at stopthepresses.news or couriernewsroom.com. And then last but not least, Jim's got this program on the weekends, Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings. I'm sure you're going to get into a couple of the cases we've already talked about. Any that we missed that you want to promote quickly for tomorrow's show?
One of the things we're also going to talk about is Pam Bondi. Yes, indeed, she's our attorney general, saying some very interesting things about how assistant United States attorneys and department lawyers should act, what the principles, the standards are, changing America by virtue of what you're telling your lawyer's staff to do. We serve, the Department of Justice serves America, does not serve Pam Bondi, does not serve the president. That has changed in the past 5 months. More of that, again, coming up on Saturday.
I can't believe we're not all taking loyalty oaths already. I mean, God knows that's the expectation. A local update is next for some of you. Others will stick around here with the panel. And then in our next hour, we'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley, who's out in Washington, D.C. And we will get sports from Mike Clemens as well. What has happened with the Brewers? Where did this team come from? We're loving this. We'll ask Mike about that next after the 8 o'clock news here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the Recombobulation Area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I'm back. And here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. When it comes to Wisconsin and what we do well, a lot of people have their stereotypical assumptions about us. Beer, cheese, sausage, sports. And those are all great. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy every single one of them. But a wonderful hidden gem about southeastern Wisconsin, about us as individuals, is our art scene. The people who put their heart and soul into their creation, whether it be film, paintings, music, sculpture. We have a rich artistic culture here in the city. And I personally feel we need to be better at vocalizing the tremendous impact and contribution our artists make to our state. One of those artists is Ramon Swift Sloan. He is an independent movie producer, and he has been making films here in the Midwest for a very long time. His films are based deeply in the reality of Milwaukee and the surrounding community and talks about the real-life challenges and triumph of everyday people. Earl Ingram sat down with him for his new podcast, What's Going On, to have a conversation about what Ramon does and how his art has an impact.
I'm honored and privileged to have with us and you today, Mr. Ramon Swift Sloan. He is with Swift Motion Pictures. Good morning to you, young man. How you doing?
I'm great, Earl. How you doing, man?
I'm doing just fine. Tell us a little bit about Ramon Swift Sloan.
Well, a little bit about Ramon is I'm a motivator. You know, I like to inspire people.
No. Where'd you come from? How did you get to where you are? Let's introduce you to the people.
Well, I'm a native of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Born and raised here in the state. Went to Rufus King High School, Milwaukee Area Technical College for TV and video production. And, you know, I've always had a strong sense of arts, films, movies.
So before we get into all that, how old are you?
I'm 47.
You're 47 years old. You're from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You grew up where?
12th and Capitol.
12th and Capitol. So you grew up in the Rufus King neighborhood.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, the Rufus King neighborhood is an iconic community that has really spurned some really wonderful and powerful Black people. It, even to this day, it is still as together a community as there is anywhere in the city of Milwaukee. Rufus King High School, which is one of the jewels of Milwaukee Public Schools, is where you grew up. So you grew up in a very successful community, very successful neighborhood, mom and dad intact family.
Yes, yes. My grandparents, they moved here in the, on my mom's side in the 60s, my dad's side, I want to say, it might have been the 50s or early 60s.
Right, right. Yeah, it came here for the same reason that many others did, opportunities to work and live a middle-class lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, that neighborhood back then, I watched it change from going, being like high middle class to what it is now. You know, as you know, a lot of homeowners, they probably passed the houses down to the kids. And, you know, they, a lot of them are now rental properties, you know, so it's a lot different over there.
It's still well maintained, though.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It is. It's very well maintained, you know, especially when you get past Capitol going towards going
east
north. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's a great neighborhood. You know, I went to Green Bay Elementary also. So,
how many sisters and brothers?
It's 9 of us total.
Wow.
Yeah, my pops, he got 9 kids. My mom got 3.
Oh, you had a very small family. I'm from 13.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I kind of understand you know. So, so let's talk about, you know, Rufus King. And certainly Rufus King is a place where, you know, they do a great job educating young people.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the people who get scholarships at Rufus King and wind up going to universities. Anywhere in this state, Rufus King can compete.
Definitely. And I don't know what the requirements is now, but when I was going there, you had to maintain a 2.5.
There's still high standards.
Wow.
Right? For the most part, Rufus King's still high standards. Still, again, just a great place that cultivates young people. So it's no surprise to me that when you said you went to Rufus King, your success it's certainly tied into what many other young people and families knew who sent their children to Rufus King High School.
Indeed.
So let's talk about, you know, what you did once you left high school.
Well, when I left high school, you know, I did a lot of things, you know, outside of me being in film. You know, that led me to, I was in the streets, you know, and I went from that to, you know, a short stint in prison. You know, and we talking 90s now, right? So we going back to 95. And, you know, fast forward, after that, that's when I went to TV and video production.
So we're going to get into all of that. you know, the fact that you were able to overcome a dark place in your life, to me, is worthy of a story being told. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you are able to overcome that, because many people and young people who are caught up in things don't overcome it. and it becomes, they become defined by that and never able to change the trajectory of their lives.
The entirety of that conversation Earl had with Ramon Swift Sloan is available by going to civicmedia.us/shows. You're going to look for Earl's new podcast, What's Going On. It's available now. New episodes always being posted, and he's having great conversations with important leaders within the community. Stick around after the top of the news break because Pat's going to welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley on to talk about what you can expect on her program this weekend, which is entitled The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Protesters and border agents clashed during immigration raids at two Southern California pot farms. Melissa Tapiz's relatives work at one of them.
My cousin, my sister, my brother are in there. They took my brother. They took his phone away.
A whistleblower accuses Justice Department officials of retaliation after she was fired Monday. Patty Hartman tells CBS News.
It's hard to understand why or how it's okay to remove people from their job for doing their job.
CBS News has learned the State Department will cut staff by 15% as part of plans to slash the federal workforce. President Trump heads to Central Texas today to assess the damage from last Friday's deadly flooding. Kerrville Police Sergeant Jonathan Lamb.
I think that everyone who lives here knows somebody who has been affected.
CBS.